Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
First thing I want to say, and I want you to remember while I'm preaching today, is that God loves you. God loves you. He's the King, and He made you, and He loves you. Proclaiming the gospel can be really, really difficult. Speaking about God is just a really, really tough thing to do for just about everyone, even if you're an evangelist, if that's what you think you are. It's a really, really difficult thing. And here are a couple of blokes who we're going to watch now, who find it, or one in particular finds it very, very hard to proclaim Jesus. Eight reasons. I can think of another 800. But if you follow our blog on the internet, on our website, you'll find that's actually on there. So here we have, in our reading today, if you've got your Bibles open, that's a very good start. Here we have Paul proclaiming the gospel. He's speaking it, and he's preaching in two major cities. Those cities are Corinth, which is over here where that 18 is, and that's basically chapter 18, and in chapter 19 and 20, but our reading today is 19, he's in Ephesus, which is over here. And these are two really large, bustling cities. They'd have a lot of traffic going through them, both by land and by sea, especially Ephesus. This was sort of the route that people would take to come down through this way and to come back up. These are two big cities. Paul has just been in Athens here. In Greece there, where you'll know the famous passage, or you should know the famous passage in Acts 17, where he's speaking about the unknown God and actually revealing to his listeners that God is known and revealed in Jesus. Paul's been very strategic. These are places where news would spread quickly, and so it's obvious for him to go there with the gospel, knowing that the good news will hopefully, in God's will, spread very quickly. I want to go through what I call the four P's. Rod would love this. This is the four P's, and the first one I've spoken about already, but is proclamation. Paul proclaimed the gospel. He verbally spoke it. He used his mouth. Let's just have a look at how proclamation is flooded through these couple of chapters. Firstly, we see it in 18:4. Paul reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. In 18:5, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and many Corinthians heard him. 8:11, Paul stayed and taught the word. 18:19, Paul reasoned with the Jews. 19:1-7, Paul proclaims and teaches throughout those few verses. 19:8, he spoke boldly. 19:9-11, he had discussions, and all the Greeks and Jews heard the word of the Lord. He proclaims by discussion, preaching, and persuasion. My point is, the gospel of Jesus spreads when it is proclaimed, when it is spoken, when we speak it out of our mouths, when we use our vocal cords to actually get the word out about Jesus and what he's done. I'm not saying, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that God cannot be glorified through our actions. I think that that's very biblical. And people can come and ask questions about God, knowing that you're a Christian and from your good deeds. But from our reading today, I want to realise that the gospel goes forward through the first P, proclamation. Paul proclaims the gospel. He just doesn't sit around and by osmosis hopes that people just through his actions will know about who Jesus is. He boldly preaches and talks about Jesus. He uses his words. There was a kid in my youth group whose dad I became really good friends with. He was a ripping bloke. He believed in friendship evangelism. He was very uneasy about talking about God, preaching about God, proclaiming about God. He believed religion was a private thing. He believed that Christians should just be good people and live morally upright, righteous lives. What a shame. How sad this actually is. We spoke about it often. One of the greatest delights of the devil, one of the greatest delights of the devil is when we think Christianity, Jesus, should be kept private. And I think that's because we get called into a thinking that it's a religion and not a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus. And the devil loves it when we're silent about him. I believe that he's completely unbiblical and a cop-out to think that we cannot speak and proclaim Jesus. All people are called to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Saviour. I don't want you to get me wrong, though. I do believe that we can promote the gospel through our good deeds. And Jesus even spoke about that in Matthew 5. He said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We can promote the gospel, but if we don't open our mouths, people will never know about it. And friends, we only proclaim the gospel. We only do it when we know what the gospel is. We only do it when we know what the gospel is and how it transformed our lives. When we understand how truly sinful we are and how we are completely hopeless without accepting Jesus, well, that's when the Holy Spirit will empower us to proclaim this great news, this great saving news. It might be difficult, it might even be really scary to do it. That is for everyone. But I suppose the last thing I want you to do today is to go home and to think that this is just another thing you've got to do to be right with God. This is just another thing I have to do to be righteous. I don't want you to go home thinking that. I've talked a little about how to proclaim the gospel and how to do it. But later, I want to touch on why. Why are we called to proclaim the gospel? Because that's the key. You won't do it unless you know why. And I'll speak about knowing why it is so critical a little bit later. But let me move on to my second P. The second one is persecution. When you proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus, when you speak about him, expect persecution all the time, actually, every single time. When Paul proclaims Jesus as Lord and Saviour, the inevitable occurs, persecution. We see that in 18:4. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively. That's what he does. But in these next few verses, we see, but when the Jews opposed Paul, he became abusive. And 19:9, but some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. Do you see the pattern? Paul preaches the gospel. He proclaims the gospel. And straight away, there's persecution. People have hard hearts, and they don't want to hear. They malign the way. They don't believe what he's saying. They ridicule him. They laugh at him. They mock him. All those things. Now, of course, persecution for us takes many different forms. Hardly ever in the West are we going to be persecuted physically. It might happen, but it's very, very rare. But it can be rejection by people. By proclaiming the gospel, we may be rejected. Society tells us that popularity is the most important thing we can have, to be accepted by others, to find where we fit somewhere in the pecking order. We want to be accepted somewhere. We want to be liked. It's one of our biggest things that we want as humans, is to be liked, and to be rejected and to be abandoned hits us deep in the core of who we are. So this is no easy thing. By proclaiming the gospel, we may be rejected by friends, colleagues, people at work, family even. A lot of you here may even have husbands, wives, mums, dads, brothers and sisters who have, we heard from Bob earlier this morning, people who reject you because of your faith. And if that doesn't happen, because sometimes it doesn't, if that doesn't happen, well, expect spiritual oppression. That's going to happen. The devil hates the gospel being proclaimed. So what do you think he does? He'll try anything to bring you down. He'll either have words will come into your mind like you're not good enough, you're not a gifted evangelist. I can't do this, I'm not gifted in this way. On and on. Paul continues to be persecuted in these passages because of his faith. We see in, if you've got your Bibles open, from 12 to 17, we see Jews make a united attack on Paul, dragging him into court because of what he was saying. They tried to have him arrested for blasphemy. This man, they said, they charged, is persuading the people to worship God in ways contrary to the law. Persecution coming upon Paul for his proclamation. And this persecution continues. We didn't read it today in our passage, but I encourage you to read it during the week. From chapter 19, verse 23 to 41, we see Paul in Ephesus and two of his preaching buddies are basically taken again in front of a court because of their proclamation of the gospel. And again, they're persecuted. There's a massive riot. This guy called Demetrius basically is successful in inciting a riot, and they just get out of control. They go absolutely crazy trying to have these guys jailed or even killed for their faith. My point is, with all proclamation, we should expect persecution. With all proclamation of the gospel, expect it. That's encouraging, isn't it? It gets good, don't worry. Remember I said God loves you at the start. God made you. My third P is perseverance. With all this persecution that Paul is suffering, he continues on. He perseveres. When he's persecuted in the synagogue in 18 and 19, what does Paul do? He doesn't give up. He perseveres. He is, chapter 18, verse 7, then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. 19:9, but some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. Here we see that Paul is rejected, he's persecuted, he's struggling, but what he does is he actually uses his brain and says, well, if these people aren't going to listen to me, I'm going somewhere else to go to people who will hear me, who are open to the gospel. He moves from the synagogue, which is his evangelism technique. You can read about that in other chapters of Acts as well. Goes to the synagogue first. The Jews reject him. He goes to the Gentiles. This is what we see here. And sometimes we can be a little bit like that. We can be so keen on proclaiming the gospel, which is an awesome thing. I mean, if that's your trouble, if that's your problem, then that's really good. But we can be so keen in trying to proclaim the gospel to people who aren't open, who are not ready to hear about the Lord Jesus. They're not ready to hear about it. And so that's where you hear people about being fundamentalists and all that sort of thing. We just go at them all the time. I think we can take a good lesson here from Paul. You should look for the people who are open to the message. There's people out there, people are desperate to hear about Jesus. They've filled their lives up with all other stuff, but they want to know what it means to be loved by their Maker. They want to know. So perseverance is so critical for us all. Paul uses metaphors throughout Acts, like run the race, we know in Hebrews, which we've just finished, continue on, don't get entangled by sin, all those things. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. We need to persevere with the faith. That's what it, every day we wake up in the morning. It's about committing your day to God. It's about knowing who he is. It's about loving him. It's about asking his Holy Spirit to empower us to persevere in our faith, in our proclamation of God. And as followers of Jesus, we must persevere. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. He talks about the narrow gate and the narrow road. It's a tough walk. There's no guarantees of it being easy. But here we see Paul persevering in the faith. I want to play a clip now on a guy who showed great perseverance. Derek Redmond was ranked number 2 in the world for the 400. Lost his chance for a gold medal. The man who was walking with him at the end, there wasn't his coach, it was actually his dad. His coach and his dad. Derek Redmond, absolutely gone. Hamstring, bang, not going to finish. But he perseveres to the end. He doesn't stop finishing that race. And we've got that race laid out before us. And then we've got, you see here, his dad, his father, come and put his arm around him and carry him over the line. Which brings me to my fourth P, and that's provision. That's God's provision. Paul proclaims the gospel. Paul is under the pump in everything he does. But God provides a way through every time. Every time. Paul's audacious decision to move from synagogue to preach the gospel, to move from proclaiming from the Jews to the Gentiles, was quickly vindicated as God provided for him. And we see five ways in these chapters that God provides for Paul. First one being that there was a conversion and a baptism. Many heard and believed and were baptized. The second one, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, do not be afraid, keep on speaking, do not be silent. For I am with you and no one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. A vision from God. Jesus speaks to him, provides for him, encourages him. This is an interesting fact too. Because I have many people in this city, there wouldn't have been many Christians at all. Hardly any of them knew about Jesus. This was a fertile ground. The gospel hadn't really gone there. But God had people there who were waiting, ready. God had been preparing people's hearts to hear this proclamation about him as Lord and Saviour. People are there waiting, ready for it. Fortunately, I don't have clips for these last three that I want to talk about, but if you've got your Bibles in front of you, that's great. Verse 11. So Paul stayed for a year and a half. Chapter 19, not verse 18, 19. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. The third way that God provides is that there's miracles that occur. People are healed. People are taken from darkness to light. People are able to be cured of illnesses and all sorts of demonic oppression and all sorts of things. And number 4 and 5 is that in both chapters 18 and chapters 19, both times Paul and his preaching mates are taken in front of a Roman council and are basically put on trial for blasphemy. They're going to be either killed or jailed. And both times, God working through people This is the Roman leaders say, this guy has nothing to say. This guy's free. There's nothing there that this guy, work it out yourselves. This is a Jewish thing. God, again, not through a miraculous thing this time, through a pretty just normal thing, working through people. Through persecution, the gospel goes on, for God provides in it. That's the great stuff. God provides. And when we trust in that, it's a great thing, because not only are we know that God's got everything in control, he's got us in the palm of our hands, but we also know that it's going to do something. There's no seed that's been thrown on the ground. There's no word that's been spoken which goes back to God empty. And that's a great promise from God. But it's a step of faith. I've spoken about these four P's: proclamation, persecution, perseverance, and God's provision. But we will not go past first base to proclaim Jesus unless we know who he is. But more than that, not just to know who he is, it's one thing to understand who Jesus is, it's a completely other thing altogether to accept him as your Lord and Saviour over your whole life. This is the key to the whole thing. Paul proclaimed the gospel. Paul was persecuted because of the gospel. Paul persevered because of the gospel. God showed provision because of the gospel. The only way these four things ever come about is because of the gospel. You won't even think about proclamation if you don't know the gospel personally. When was the last time you had a lump in your throat, or you just hair on the back of your neck, or you just, maybe it was quiet times with Jesus or reading your Bible or whatever it was, where you just went, wow, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I understand who I am in Christ now. I was reminded by a friend this week that you're never not loved by God. You're never not loved by him. You can't do anything to change it. He loves you. He loves you. You can't change it. No works can make you more righteous. Going to church can't make you more righteous. Being a minister doesn't make me any better. Thank God. Paul talks about our works being like dirty rags. It's like we get to the end of our lives on the final day, we stand before God and say, look, I ran the youth group. Or, sorry, Sarah. I was a good husband. I was a great mum. But our works are like dirty rags. We're saved through grace and grace only. These are great words. Just meditate on these words. Just, if you understand them, which many of you do, and I know that, they'll completely transform your life. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Dead. It is by grace that we at Deep Creek have been saved. We don't deserve it. But God, in his mercy and his love, saves us through the Lord Jesus. Proclamation of the gospel causes persecution. Perseverance in the gospel causes God's provision. Just automatic. He'll provide for you. It's a given. Take it to the bank. It's done. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. I'm not saying you have to be a gun evangelist like Paul. There's only been one of them. There's been plenty of other great evangelists. You don't have to be Billy Graham. You don't have to be John Stott or Mark Driscoll or whatever. You don't have to be these sort of people. But we need to persevere in the gospel all the time because of what Jesus has done for us. And it'll be an automatic thing. The Holy Spirit will be upon you and you can't help but do it. It'll be scary, but it's all right. Trust him. Trust the Lord Jesus. He loves you. And this is why we proclaim, because Jesus loves us. This is why we persevere, because God loves us. The same Jesus that died for Paul died for you. And he died for me. And he calls you. And he calls you by name. And he calls you into a relationship with him. I don't know how he's doing that in your life, but he'll be doing it. Either he's brought you along to church, he's spoken to you through a friend, you've actually picked up the Bible and read it. I recommend that we all do that. Whatever it may be, a loving act, God speaks to you. And he sends us out to tell others about him. And we've got people around us who support us. We've got the Holy Spirit who will provide for us. Knowing who God is and what he has done should give us great faith in his provision for us. Let me pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this passage. We thank you how Paul proclaimed your word. He spoke it out. He was not ashamed of the gospel. I thank you, God, that although through persecution, he continued to persevere and you provided for him like you provide for us. So, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be heavy upon us today, that you'll be working in our hearts to transform us, working in our minds to change us, to be more like Jesus, who died for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We worship you. We give you all honour and glory. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.